I was planning that last week would be the end of my story, but someone wrote a very interesting email to me with some very pensive questions. And I thought, therefore, that I would do this week a sort of postscript to my story. And so listen in, and you will get some interesting, I hope, interesting insights from the responses that I make to this lady's email. And I hope she's listening, too. This is Colin Cook and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on Good News. I normally cover the Book of Romans, which I will return to, but right now I'm telling you my story. I was planning the end of my story at this point, but someone, a lady, wrote to me during the telling of the story last week. She sent an email, and I'd like to read it to you. It's very thought-provoking, and it stirred my mind to wander off in another direction. And I think I'll do that in response to this lady's email. Let me read the email to you. Thank you so much for sharing your story. You have softened my heart. Working in New York City for 10 years in the 80s, many of my friends were gay, which was fine by me as long as they were in the closet. It was never really okay if they were flamboyant, because then they were just a joke and not to be taken seriously. I never realized the agony, the embarrassment, the inner struggle a gay man had growing up in the 50s and 60s. And while I disagree with same-sex marriage and adoptions for same-sex couples, I'm so glad there is not the same stigma toward being homosexual today as there was when you were growing up. Would you be a different person today if you grew up in a more tolerant society? Obviously, you have been honed, and you are now a fine diamond from your struggles and pain. Would you change any of your struggles if you could, or have they been a gift? I haven't followed you through Romans, so maybe there lies the answers. Thank you once again for sharing your story. Peace and love. And she signs off. Well, some interesting questions there for sure. And although you understand and you know that the storyline that I have followed is not about homosexuality, it is not about recovery, or it is not about being gay or whether what's right or wrong in that area. It's about how Jesus intervenes to help us in our struggles, how he assures us of his righteousness for us, how we train our faith in whatever orientation we may have. But some of the questions that this lady asks are very interesting. So, would I be a different person today if I had grown up in a more tolerant society? You know, it's always difficult. These are hypothetical questions, of course. But really, I don't think I would. I might have been a little less afraid of what people thought about me. I might have been a little more ready to open up to certain people, though I did open up to one or two in those years. But I don't think that that's where the issue was. I think for me, the issue is very much about my faith in God. I had been taught in a church that believed the Bible. I had been brought up in a church that believed in the creation as described in Genesis. And I believed that then and believe it now. And I found some really wonderful teaching there in the book of Genesis. My mind is quite an analytical mind, and I explore things. I want to know what's behind the meaning of what is being said here. And I come to Genesis and Genesis chapter 1, and it says there, "Then God said, let us make man in our image." You know, he's making the light and the land and the air, the sea, and the animals. Let there be light. Let there be dry land. Let the waters under the heavens gather together. All of these commands, let there be a firmament. Let there be a night and day. Let there be light, as I said. But when it comes to the creation of human beings, God said, let us make man in our image. That's a very interesting change in the way things are said. Earlier, it's simply that God says, let there be light, and let there be day, and let there be a firmament. But then he introduces the plurality of himself. God is one, and yet God is plural. And we as Christians hold that seeming contradiction, and that antinomy, if you like, together in the truth that God is one in three persons. Then God said, let us make man. Why does he introduce himself as plural here? Well, it follows, the answer comes as we read further. Then God said, let us make man in our image. The plurality of God, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the ground. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. And then it says, male and female he created them. Well, he starts off by saying, let us make man. But when he's finished, it's man and woman. The first thing we notice about that then is that the word man includes a man and a woman. It's never meant simply as male. Let us make man. Man is male and female. But notice that he creates them in his image. And his image is introduced as plurality. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And so when man makes a man and a woman, when God rather makes a man and a woman, he makes them interrelating, just as God interrelates with himself in the person of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This to me is I could never avoid the incredible reality of that. Nowhere else in this chapter does God say that he makes animals in his image, or the sky in his image, or the light in his image. It's man in his image, man and woman, male and female, in his image. So man and woman together, man and woman together, are an expression of the image of God, the reflection of God. Now, my humanity completely falls short of that, of course, and it fell short of it especially in, I won't say especially, but it fell short of it for me in regard to my homosexuality. Now, so I'm not disturbed by this, you understand, anymore anyway. I'm not disturbed by it because I know that Christ is the image of God. Christ Jesus became the one man who totally personified the image of God. And his image is counted as mine. His righteousness is counted as mine. I'm complete in him, not in myself. But let's go further with this. In Genesis chapter 2, there's an incredibly interesting description of this from another perspective. Chapter 2, verse 18 of Genesis, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Now, remember, he had created Adam. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a living being, or a living soul. But then a little later, when Adam is completed and is wandering around the garden and looking at all these wonderful things, God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him, or as the King James Version says, a help meet for him. Now, we've turned that mistakenly into a helpmate. It's not the word helpmate for him, but a help meet for him. And the old English word meet means suitable. So it's, I will make him a helper suitable for him or comparable to him, as the New King James Version says. And so I had to come to grips with that idea that a woman is suitable for me, is meet for me, comparable to me. I didn't experience that at all in my emotions. I came to conclude from that that my emotions somehow were not recognizing reality. Now, I'm not speaking, and I will not speak for anybody else's arrival at certain conclusions here. I am telling you what my conclusions were. That if God says to me that a woman is a helper suitable, then I decided to say, Lord God, to me she doesn't seem suitable at all. I don't feel the need for her. I don't feel attracted to her. I don't feel drawn. I don't feel that somehow she complements me. But you say, or imply in this verse, that she does. So please help me to discover that and explore that. You see then that this is how I'm answering this lady's question in her email. Would you have been a different person today if you had grown up in a more tolerant society? To me, it isn't a social issue, although I grant you it would have been easier for me if society had been more tolerant, if we could talk more about these things, granted. But no, it was more about the nature of being, the nature of what man is in the first place. And I want to talk more about that. But for the moment, join me in exploring Genesis 2, verse 18. I'm putting out a call for help to get a new computer. This computer that I record these broadcasts on is 15 years old. I've been warned by my friends, by my tech friends, that it will crash any time. It's extremely slow. It sometimes freezes. We're still working with Windows XP, though it's more reliable, I understand, than the other Windows programs. Tim, our international director of FaithQuest UK, is also doubling as our tech director, and he is putting together the programs for a new computer, still with Windows XP in England, and he is then going to bring it over here. He's fundraised for the computer and the software for that, and I'm fundraising for the fare to get him over here. He normally comes over himself. He's been over here to help me with all the technical stuff for 14 years now, 15 years every year. This time he's bringing a computer over, and because he's paying for that over there and the software, I want to take care of his travel, which is $1,200 round trip, cheap fare. That is off peak season fare. So I wonder if there's anyone that could urgently help by sending that donation for Tim's fare to the United States, return fare, $1,200. If there is, if you care about this program and have the means to help and want to us to have good technical equipment, please then give me a call, would you? Or rather, would you send your donation to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton 80160, or you could take care of it by PayPal at faithquestradio.com. That's FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160, or faithquestradio.com. Thank you so much for your help. I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.